Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As we move closer to the day we celebrate Christmas, we've been sharing passage after passage about the Christmas story. We want to talk about Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 today. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is one of those power-packed verses. First, it talks about the fact that a virgin will be with child. And so many skeptics and critics of Christianity really hone in on that particular aspect of this verse. How can that be? And is it necessary? Was it necessary for Mary to be a virgin? And I think when we understand what the gospel is, the answer is a resounding yes. And Andrew, welcome back to the broadcast.
Yes. Hey, thanks.
We missed you the last couple of weeks, but welcome back and jump in on this. Was it necessary for Mary to be a virgin, or is that just something that, you know, sounds nice and all of those sort of things? Was it necessary?
Well, I think it has to be that way because Jesus is born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit, and it's a miraculous birth. He's born of God, the only begotten from the Father, so you can't have him be the only begotten from Joseph. It's his identity, so you're not going to get Jesus. If someone else gives birth to a baby, it's not going to be Jesus. The result is not going to be Jesus Christ unless it is a work of the Holy Spirit and of the will of God. So, you know, just by Jesus's nature, I mean, Jesus has always existed. He was there at creation. Colossians says that he created the world. So we're not just talking about a 33-year-old teacher. We're talking about the God of the universe here. So if the God of the universe is going to come and live in human form, fully God and fully man, he can't come from Joseph. He has to come from the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it just makes no sense.
Yeah. You and I come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. We're sinners by nature. That's what our identity is. And if Jesus had come into this world in the same way that we did, he would have that same fallen nature, wouldn't
he? He would need a Savior. He couldn't be the Savior.
Right. Absolutely. So that's why the virgin birth is absolutely necessary. It couldn't be any other way. And then one other aspect of this passage that is, I think, really tells the story of the gospel in a very powerful way is his name. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So as you were talking about, Andrew, this was not just an ordinary child, but his name also, I think, foreshadows what the gospel is.
Yeah. I mean, the gospel is God with us now. And what I love about Christmas time is it's really, to me, it's a demonstration of how Jesus is compatible with our humanity. I mean, a lot of people, you know, we feel guilty about our lives. We feel that we are dirty people. We feel that we're too distant from God. We feel that we couldn't possibly fit with him, that maybe he'll tolerate us in a heavenly way later. He'll polish us up when we hit the pearly gates, but he couldn't be, you know, compatible with us here and now. And what I love about the story of Christmas is it's basically saying that God is compatible with our humanity. And when Christ comes to live in us, that's still true, that he is compatible with our humanity, and he's not trying to erase us or get rid of us, but he really wants us to understand his love and really bask in that and receive that.
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing passage, and I just encourage our listeners to take a fresh look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, really the entire Christmas story, and ponder those things as Mary did. She pondered these things in her heart and asked the Lord to reveal to you what it means that God is with you in the person of Christ Jesus each and every day. I guarantee you it will change your life
forever.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and thanks for joining us again. 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. If you have something you'd like to discuss, or perhaps a Bible question, we would love your call right now. Again, 844-322-2742. Go to the U.S. and in Canada.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Los Angeles, California, and talk with Antoine. Hi, Antoine. Welcome to Basic Gospel today.
Hey, I didn't think about that. Jesus was more than 33 years old. That was a good analysis of that. My question is gambling and investing like the same thing? Because it seems like, you know, when you lose, and you're not happy when you lose, and then all that, to see how that relates to when Jesus stayed on store for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, and I'm thinking like 401ks and all that kind of stuff is like storing up treasures for yourself on earth. And like I had a little thing in 08 and I lost a lot of money and it really hurt me. And then I was thinking that, you know, maybe I shouldn't be so much worried about that kind of stuff.
Well, Antoine, there's a reason the casinos are that big. There's a reason the casinos look that grandiose and magnificent in terms of their size and the wealth that it took. And that's because the dealer always wins in the end. And to me, it's not a religious rule that we need to be concerned with. It's not a, you know, is God angry or is God upset at me about this? But it's more of a godly wisdom and a sound-mindedness. There's a reason that casino is so large. It was funded by losers, meaning those who lost at the gambling table. So it comes down to some common sense there. I think as far as your 401ks, that's a different story. I mean, you know, there are many times when Jesus talks about not just burying money in the ground. There's a parable about that. So one person buried money in the ground and got no return on it. And someone else went out and invested it and got a return on it. And so Jesus was advising not to just bury your money in the ground. That makes no sense. So what I love about the gospel is that it's basically, it comes down to these daily decisions are basically godly common sense. So do I want to waste away all my money at the casino, or do I want to invest it in something that's going to have a return? Well, investing it in my family and their safety, that gives a great return. Investing it in a ministry, that gives a great return. Investing it in a 401k for retirement, that gives a great return. Now, wasting it all at a casino, does that give a great return? Well, you know, 99 times out of 100, the answer would be no. So it's just a huge risk, a big gamble. That's why they call it gambling. And I would look at it more as a godly common sense issue more than anything else. So does that help?
But it seemed like investors is kind of like legalized gambling too. I've lost more money on stocks and investing than I've done in the casino.
Well, then if that's the case, I would be careful about my future investments. In other words, if you fall and you skin your knee, you know, don't run down that same alley and fall into the same pit again. You learn from your mistakes and you grow and the Lord teaches you, and nobody is a perfect investor, but I certainly wouldn't say I'm never going to invest in anything. I mean, a home is an investment. It can go up in value possibly. Like you said, a 401k could help you through retirement. I think we're going to end up being just sort of religious legalists if we say we can't ever invest in anything because it's too earthly. You know, we Christians, we've been given a sound mind, and I think it's certainly of the Lord to ask Him for wisdom as we proceed with our financial decisions.
You know, it's interesting, Andrew and Antoine, as y'all were dialoguing back and forth there. I've been doing a lot of thinking about investing in retirement and those sort of things as my age creeps up. And I know, Richard, you and Bob Davis have been thinking a lot about that as well. And oftentimes we just put our hard-earned dollars into the hands of somebody else to manage it. And we don't give a lot of attention to how they're managing it, and we're paying them fees. And so sometimes the system is set up like a casino. We lose, somebody else loses, but our brokers, they win. And it's, you know, two out of three ain't bad. You're just the loser in it. So I think, as Antoine, as Andrew was saying, we need to bring some common sense to that and to really, I think, take control, as far as our investments are concerned, and really understand what we're investing in, really do the work to find out if this is going to be a solid investment or not. Otherwise, we're just gonna put our money in the hands of somebody and just hope that it works. That's a gamble. Yeah. That is a gamble. So I think we can, I think we can have some common sense in that area as well, that we can actually be involved in how this is going to be invested. And again, it's not for, to amass this huge amount of wealth so we can do anything and everything and live this worldly life. I think it's just prudence to be able to provide for our family. I think leave a legacy as far as investing in the work of ministry, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. I think that's why we do some of those things, and that's why it's so vitally important for us to be hands-on in those types of investments instead of just putting it into the hands of others and just forgetting about it. Like I said, a 2008 can come along, and yes. Boy, you wish you hadn't have forgotten about it. So I think we need a little common sense in that area as well. Yeah. Well, Antoine, thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
We certainly appreciate it.
844-322-2742. That's a toll-free call, of course, 844-322-2742. Since we talked about the casinos, I guess let's continue to cover the vices on this one. Question from Dee, and as we get into the holiday season, particularly over toward New Year's every year, I think more and more people engage in social drinking, and some a little less social and more imbibing and to excess. So the question from Dee: what does the Bible say about having alcoholic drinks? Is it okay to drink?
Yeah, well, I think Ephesians tells us not to be drunk with wine, but to instead be filled with the Spirit. That means just, direct our needs toward the Lord and look to His love to really heal us and inspire us and give us peace. You can't look to alcohol to give you peace. That's not going to work. It works for 3 hours, and then what? So long term, alcohol is not the answer to anything. So I think, again, we're back to godly wisdom and common sense. People will try to say, that the alcohol in the Bible was not really alcoholic or something like that. And all of that breaks down when you see Paul saying, don't be drunk with wine. Why would he say don't be drunk with wine if you can't get drunk off of it? So clearly the Bible is not just some sort of book of rules saying thou shalt not drink. Instead, it's saying, you're free in Christ. You've got Christ living in you. He's the answer to your problems. He's going to be the source of your peace. So when it comes to a glass of wine, use common sense and godly wisdom and discernment. And if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God about it. And if you have a struggle in that area, by all means, it's not worth it. Get away from it. Yeah. But if that's not your struggle and you want to have a glass of wine, there's nothing in the Bible that would condemn that. I think it's ultimately just do everything unto the Lord, depending on the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord, because in the end, it's really all about the Lord.
Yeah. It gets back to being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Back to the original question on gambling. Would the Holy Spirit lead you to do that? I think that's one of the questions that we ask. And when it's when we get into the arena of drinking and alcohol and those sort of things, there are times that the Holy Spirit is going to say, absolutely not. There's other times that a glass of wine or something would be okay, but be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. Be in tune with what the situation is that you're in, and then listen to the Lord and walk with the Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dee, thank you for your question. Hope that's been a help to you, and hope you waited to get the answer before you took action.
Yes. Well, let's go to Denver and talk with Kenny, listening to us on our great affiliate out there, KRKS. Hi, Kenny. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Well, thank you. First of all, I want to say thank God for coming to Earth to teach us and give us a way of hope and guidance, knowing that we've got salvation. But my question is I am led by God 99% of the time, and the other 1%, it's me leading on my own understanding. And I tell people, hang in, hang on, but not let go. But I'm ready not to let go, but to quit hanging in and hanging on, and I need some help with that. And you guys are a very good outlet for me.
Well, your statistics sound really encouraging there, 99% and 1%. That's a good ratio of depending on Christ. The book of James says we all will stumble in many ways. You know, I'm not surprised when I fail. I'm not surprised when I stumble, when I've got my eyes in the wrong direction, and then the Lord has to nudge me and remind me where life is really found. And as far as what you're talking about there, I think, you know, sometimes we can overanalyze our walk. And maybe, you know, you're saying you struggle sometimes with hanging on so tightly. You know, I've got to walk right. I've got to depend right. Am I living the life? Am I letting Christ? Am I depending on Him? Am I really doing it? Am I doing it? And I've seen some of us, you know, we can even get neurotic about the enjoyment of this grace-based life. And what I would say is, you know, my growth is the Lord's problem. My walk is up to the Lord. I can hand that whole burden over to Him. I don't have to analyze myself all the time. Am I letting go enough? Am I trusting enough? Am I letting God enough? Am I abiding? Am I? And I think that, you know, ultimately we get worn out on self-analysis and we have to just come back.
It's not so much, giving up on God. It's more of giving up on people and trusting what they say, when in reality they're just tickling your ear, tickling my ear in my case, of course. Mm-hmm. But then I still want to go back to say, hey, I trust you, even though you proved differently. And that's the hanging in, hanging on that I'm ready to stop doing.
So to continue to trust people and forgive them for past failures, is that what you're saying?
Kind of, yeah, and give them another chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of us just learning to walk in love. You know, Corinthians says love bears all things, and then it says love believes all things. And so, you know, my son's going to fail me, my wife is going to fail me, humanity's going to fail me, I'm going to fail them. We fail each other, and then we have to choose forgiveness and to once again trust each other. Otherwise, our relationships crumble if they're not built on some sort of trust. And so we're giving each other second chances in the body of Christ, and third chances, and fourth chances, and that's really extending grace to each other. And it's not an overnight thing. It is not a lightning bolt out of heaven that changes all of that, for me at least. I feel like I'm learning and growing, and I'm in process, and as I see how much the Lord has forgiven me and trusts me, then I start to extend that to other people.
Yeah, that's going back to square one of the true self, of actually being a Christian, if you will.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, because that's going to give me food for thought and to do the proper thing versus a vindictive thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Kenny, for calling in and being a part of Basic Gospel today. Have a great day.
Yes, indeed. Merry Christmas to you, Kenny.
Want to talk about some upcoming programs. Tomorrow we have a very special broadcast. Teresa Costello is our guest. We had the opportunity to interview her last week. She's a listener of Basic Gospel from New York City, and boy, she has quite the story to tell.
She does,
powerful,
yes.
Passionate, insightful, impactful, inspirational. Encourage you to tune in tomorrow. You will be blessed by hearing her share her story of really coming to grips with this new life that she has in Christ Jesus. And then on Christmas Day, we have a very special Christmas program. We're looking at the fingerprint evidence of Christ. Does Jesus fulfill all the prophecies in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at quite a number of those. I think that will be a wonderful, wonderful program. So we encourage you to tune in both tomorrow and on Christmas Day. You will be blessed by both of these broadcasts, and then we'll be back on Monday for a live edition. But in the meantime, we want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and we certainly need your help as we get inch ever closer to December 31st. We want to finish this year strong. We just sent out a letter. We're still need $300,000 to meet our target, and we know that God can move in the hearts of people to make that happen.
$300,000
is not a big deal to God.
No.
So if this ministry has impacted you, if this ministry has made a difference in your life, come share in it with us. Come help get the word out so that others can benefit from the good news of Jesus Christ. So a gift today of $100, $500, $1,000 will mean so much for this ministry, but even more for the people who tune in, like Laura, who was listening to us on oneplace.com in Europe. She was trying to find out if there was truth that God really did love her. So she was scanning the internet and came across our program and started listening. And as she wrote to us, she said, just your review of the Basic Gospel each and every day is starting to fill her heart with hope. That's what you're investing in, bringing hope to people desperately looking for hope in this world. Only the gospel can bring. So help us out right now. We need your help. And as I said, a gift of $100, $500, $1,000. Somebody might be out there who could give $50,000 or $100,000.
Sure.
If you can, step up to the plate, make it happen. It will be an investment like you've never made in your life before, being able to get the word out and into the lives of people all around this world.
And as a secondary benefit to you personally, and it may prove to be a very, very important benefit, is for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel between now and the end of the month, you'll get a copy of our Bible reading plan called Meet the Author. It's a one-year plan that you can use as your personal journey to discover the author and finisher of the New Covenant. You'll find a prominent link at basicgospel.net. That link, of course, is Meet the Author at basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with Billy at 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, we started the program. Richard, we started the program today looking at that passage. They shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We just have a couple of minutes. Andrew, share some thoughts on, you know, what that means to you, what that means to the person listening in today.
Yeah, it kind of brings me back to the beauty found in Romans chapter 6. There's a with us phrase that's used there, that we were crucified with Christ. Christ was crucified with us, that we were buried with him. He was buried with us. And then Ephesians says we were raised up with him and he with us. And so this message does not just end with Christ in the manger. There's a much bigger message on the cross, in that tomb, and through the resurrection. And the beauty of it all, Bob, is that we get to be included in this, that we, through a salvation, through faith in Christ, we are included in the cross and included in the resurrection. And that's how we are birthed into new creations in Christ. That's how Christ can be with us, Emmanuel, God with us, right here, right now, living inside of us. That's an incredible Christmas message.
Yes, it is. We certainly wish our listeners a very Merry Christmas, and we pray that this verse, Emmanuel, which means God with us, will strike the chord of hope in your heart and direct your eyes directly to him.
Absolutely. And during these next few days, as you have some time away, it'll be an opportunity to go online to basicgospel.net and take advantage of our weekly newsletter. We encourage you to click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page on the website. Actually, it's a daily feature that will point you to the program every day. So click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at basicgospel.net. And don't forget to download the Basic Gospel app. Well, thanks for being with us again, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, this is Bob Davis wishing for you and your family a very Merry Christmas.